Hello everyone, welcome to the When at Work podcast. You're your host, Julian Leakey. Today I'm joined by the fantastic Kai Lowe. Welcome to the show, Kai.
Julian, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to do this podcast with you today.
Awesome. All right, so we're going to play a game of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Kai? And you've got three lifelines. If you're not sure, make sure that you use your lifelines. And you've got a poll the audience, 50-50 split, or 30 seconds to Google the answer. Are you ready?
Sure. I'm ready.
Okay, first question. Despite being only 10 sentences long, what children's book was adapted into a 94-minute film in 2009? Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing, The Grinch, Where the Wild Things Are. That's pretty tough, Kai. Do you have any idea without locking it in? It's only 10 sentences long. That's kind of the clue.
That's a tough one for the first question. So 10 sentences long.
Which books are known for being very short that you might read? Kind of old books from the 60s.
I'm not sure. Okay. Yeah, that's a tough one. I was thinking Dr. Seuss or something, but I think they're not that short, I don't think. But
I think you might be onto something there, Kai.
Sorry, what can you read back? What were the options again?
You can't see it. Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing, The Grinch, Where the Wild Things Are.
All right, I'm going to go with The Grinch.
Let's lock it in with no lifelines. The Grinch. That can't be correct. Okay, well, we're done. Never mind. That's what happens sometimes. Maybe we should have gone through all the lifelines. Anyway, Kai, you're a house flipper extraordinaire. Tell us a bit about this. How did you get into flipping houses?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do a handful of house flips. We do also do a lot of real estate wholesaling. That's kind of been our main focus the last year or so. Once the market shifted, we lost a little bit of money on one flip. So we decided to focus on wholesaling. But now that's starting to pick up here, we're probably starting to do some more flips again. But I got into real estate. It's kind of a long journey. I always wanted to get into real estate. When I was 18, I found sales. I turned my life around by getting into sales. It was the first thing I was ever good at. By the time I was 23, I started my first business and became an entrepreneur and been on that journey for about almost a decade now, 32. So, it's been a wild ride the whole time. I was doing it. You know, I had different businesses. I always wanted to get into real estate, but I had a lot of different limiting beliefs and reasons I thought it wouldn't work for me. You know, I thought you needed to have credit. Yeah, I thought you had to have like perfect credit, you had to have rich parents, and you had to know how to fix things, and you had to have all this know-how and things that I didn't have. But eventually, what I did at the time was I still figured one day I'd do it. You know, one day, you know, the stars will align, or I don't know exactly what my line thinking was, but one day, you know, it'll be the perfect timing, things work out, and I'll be able to get into real estate. Until then, I'll just keep working hard and saving up money. While I was doing that, I was still learning. So I was listening to podcasts like this. I was reading as many books as I could, really just trying to learn real estate because I knew that was what I wanted to do at some point. And eventually when I was reading this book, they had a small little blurb. It was like two sentence, maybe three sentence paragraph. And said, there's this thing called real estate wholesaling where you can start, real estate investing. Without needing any, credit, money, or experience, you just need to know how to do sales and marketing. That was literally all it said, but I'm like, hey, that sounds perfect because that's all I've done my whole life is sales and marketing.
What is it called? Wholesaling real estate?
Yeah, great question. So real estate wholesaling, basically you're just flipping contracts. So you're doing all the marketing and sales, you're finding deals, you're talking to sellers, you're negotiating the deal, you get it locked up. By getting them to sign the contract, you get a favorable deal, and then you sell that contract to an end buyer, like an investor, but it's going to go ahead and do the fix and flip. So basically, you're just the middleman between the home seller and the fix and flipper.
Interesting. And then, so do you have seminars and so on about property investing, and that's how you find people to get involved?
We do, yeah. So we do seminars and events. That's usually how to decide to teach people how to do wholesaling. And then we bring a lot of other investors and so they can learn creative strategies and other things as well. But really for finding buyers, I mean, if the deal is good enough, if you find a really good deal, it's usually finding a buyer is an easier part. As long as you're in like an area that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, activity happening in action, if it's like the middle of nowhere, but the town of a couple thousand people, it'll probably be harder. Even if you have a smoking deal, it's going to be hard to find an investor because probably only a couple. So just making sure you're in an area where, you know, fix and flips are happening, any major city pretty much works. But yeah, it's so basically what we do to find buyers is, you know, there's two things. One, you can go to networking events in the area. There's a lot of meetups, there's local RIAs. But honestly, social media is a great place. There's a lot of Facebook groups you can find buyers. And you can actually pull records from the county, which is what we do a lot of time, or there's different softwares you can use to pull a list of all the people who've done cash transactions, who've done fix and flips and sold it fairly quickly. And then you can skip trace them, which people don't know what skip tracing is. You basically send it to a company or use a software and it finds all their contact info and their phone numbers. And then you just reach out to them and say, hey, you know, my name's Kai. I have a really great off-market deal. Or are you still looking to buy properties in this area? And they say yes.
That's a bit of a gold nugget, I think, Kai. So you find people who have purchased investment properties through the municipal records. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah, it changes, you know, based on where it is. Typically, it's the county level. If it's a bigger city, it might be the city level. But yeah, you can usually just go. It's usually public record. And sometimes they even have it right on their website. There will be like smaller places you might have to request the information from the county. But a lot of times you can pull it, and there's a website I use called PropStream. It's like $97 a month. There's a bunch of other ones out there too. But you can literally, they do a lot of that for you, and you can pull who all the cash buyers are.
And then you send them off to a skip tracer, and he gives you all their details. So what do they cost for 1,000 records? I'm just very interested in ninja lead gen tactics, Kai.
Yeah, of course. No, I'm an open book, so I'm more than happy to share. So it varies. One of the ones we use is like 15 cents per skip. There's some less, like ones are a little bit less, there's some a little bit more. But around 15 cents seems to be about the average for per, quality per skip lead. Tracing.
And then you don't need a huge amount to hit the phones with, do you?
No, not really as far as the buyer side. If you're doing it the opposite way, trying to find deals, usually you have to skip trace a good amount of them. And they're only usually about 70% accurate, but you can do some more research on your end and you can you know, look those people up on social media or whatever once you know who the owner is.
Gotcha. That's very interesting. The other question I had for you, Kai, is when you are getting involved in these contracts, do you do them without having a secured buyer, or do you try and coordinate so that you've got a buyer on a property? You've told them about the property before you even get involved in the contract?
So typically, yeah, I won't tell anybody about the deal until I have it. So that way I have control and I have protection. And, you know, not that it happens all the time, but it does happen sometimes that people might try to cut you out of the deal. So it is good to have the property under contract and, you know, make sure you're protected. And there's different ways to do that. But typically, you don't worry too much about that. But yeah, so I usually get the property contract first and just make sure it's a good deal. And then in other areas, I do have like preferred buyers. If I've done deals with people a couple times and I know they're, you know, good to work with, yeah, I'm going to go send them the deal first. But as long as the numbers make sense and it's a good deal, it's pretty easy to find a buyer as long as you're in an area where, you know, deals are happening.
So the risk for you is that I mean, you get stuck with a deal if the buyer pulls out. I mean, I guess you have to make sure that it's a good deal for you if you get stuck with it. And also, I mean, I guess do you worry about are they all like subject to finance, or so that if you get overextended or whatever, you can sort of get out of it?
Yeah, for sure. So we always have an out. But honestly, we don't want to waste the seller's time, or we don't want to, you know, give them false sense that, you know, it's definitely going to happen when you're not certain it's going to happen, especially when you're starting out, because it does happen with a lot of newer wholesalers. But yeah, once you get a little more experience and you get the reps in and get feedback on your deals, you'll know what's a deal and what's not.
Yeah.
So we give ourselves like a 30-day option period that, you know, for any reason we need to back out of it, you know, we can back out of the contract. And sometimes it's helpful to you because the seller might have not disclosed something about the property. And when you go out and have someone look at it, you know, might need a lot more work than they said. So it's good to have that in there too. But yeah, just we make sure our contracts, you know, protect us. So if we need to back out for some reason, we're able to back out of it.
Does that ever bite you in the butt when maybe in a hot market when the buyer says, you know what, I don't want this 30-day back out clause?
Really, no, I haven't had that. Usually who we're dealing with is like distressed sellers. So it's not typical ones that they list with the real estate agent. So usually these people are going through something where, you know, they, maybe it's divorce, maybe it's, you know, bankruptcy, foreclosure, a number of reasons or some kind of distress. So they're distressed sellers. And what we're able to do and why we're able to help is because the cash buyers we're connecting them with, they're able to close within like 2 weeks, sometimes even faster. It just depends on title and as long as there's no issues with title. So they were able to close a lot quicker. So really what the sellers are doing, they're trading, some of their equity for speed and convenience. So they're getting an offer fast, quick. They don't have to deal with open houses. They don't have to deal with realtors. They don't have to deal with price drops or, you know, let people walk through their house all the time. They can just, you know, be done with it quickly, move on and get to the next phase of their life.
That kind of leads to my next question, Kai. So that is some of the benefits to the people who get involved with your outfit, I guess, the wholesaling side of things. So what are the main benefits? They get a deal that you've looked for, vetted, and it's ready to go. Do you want to tell us some of the other benefits for people?
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, really the best thing is, you know, and surprising, it's not really surprising, but what's surprising for me, a lot of investors, they still just buy their deals from a real estate agent or off the MLS. So they're paying full price, they're paying retail. Typically a deal from a wholesaler, if it's a good deal, which you always want to make sure you're looking through it, doing all your own due diligence yourself, because there are a lot of inexperienced wholesalers, because it's fairly easy to get into. It's not a big gap of entry or barrier of entry. So definitely do your due diligence, but the benefits are that you're typically getting a deal that's 70% off of what you'd pay on the market or on the MLS. So it's 70% and minus repairs. So all in, once you get it fixed up, you still have a house that's 30% less than, you know, the house you'd buy on market. So right away you have some instant equity. Obviously that's a huge benefit in itself. And then you don't have to do your own marketing. A lot of investors just, they want to do the deals. They want to do fix and flips. Maybe they don't do sales and marketing. They don't want to manage a team. They don't want to spend a lot of money on marketing or spend a bunch of time making calls or doing that. They just want to focus on doing deals. Because, you know, let's face it, doing fix and flips is pretty time consuming in itself. So really it's that, it's less work. And then you're getting a huge discount on your end.
Yeah, it's not for everyone, I guess. I guess there are investors that are ready to go and they just want deals. They don't want to deal with anything else. They got the money and they're ready to go. Question I did have just from what you were saying is, why are the sellers agreeing to sell it this way if it's up to 70% off?
Yeah, typically it comes back to them being distressed. So they usually have something going on. So maybe the house needs way too much work. If they wanted to get full price, they'd have to put the money in and fix it. And they might not have the money to do that, or they might not have the time to do it, or they just want to be done.
Falling behind could get in the mortgage and all that?
Yeah, that's a big one too. So we'll have people that they're about to get foreclosed on. They don't have time to list it with the real estate agent because the real estate agent is going to take at least a couple months, typically even if they find a buyer right away. So we're able to get them that quick option. And then we also have a lot of creative solutions we'll offer too. Maybe if there's no equity, you know, maybe there's, like I said, they're falling behind, or we can do what's called subject to financing. So basically we block the property up existing to the subject to financing, and then you can either keep it for yourself or you can wholesale that deal to another investor. So really just based on their situation, usually the deals we do, there's some type of situation the seller's going through that it doesn't make sense for them to go the traditional route, because the traditional route, real estate agents, they just try to fit everything into, you know, one path. But there's a lot of different paths in real estate, so there's always a solution.
It's a real niche that you've sort of got there. And so are you basically a real estate agent, or I mean, do you have to be licensed to sort of do these deals, or
You don't. They're starting to change it. Some states are passing it that they want you to be a real estate agent to do it. But no, I'm not a real estate agent. You don't need to be. We've done deals in 8 different states now, in a lot of different markets. And yeah, I just do it all. I'll hear from over the phone using my computer and my phone and my CRM.
Awesome. Yeah, you don't want to have to. You don't need to have a license for everything. And so, what have we got here? Tell us about. Is this your podcast, Kai?
Yeah, so I have a podcast. It's actually called the Real Estate Wholesaling Syndicate. So Real Estate Wholesaling Syndicate. So we do that every Thursday. I interview other investors. I'll talk sometimes just myself. But I interview wholesalers, investors, flippers, people doing different creative things, and really just try to dig deep, try to find real tactical information, not just fluff. So we're trying to find out what's really working in today's market, you know, what people should do, you know, how to get started, how to start doing wholesaling. And really a lot of the questions I want to know, because I find that a lot of the questions I want to know, if I want to know it, someone else probably does too. So like, for example, we just had someone, you know, come on and talk to us about commercial wholesaling, which what we focus on is traditionally single family houses to, you know, multifamily, like four units. But there's people doing this at a high level and doing giant commercial deals and making $1 million assignment fees from wholesaling. So yeah, I interview them, find that stuff out. So when I can learn it, and my audience can as well. And yeah, you can find all that right on our website, wholesalingsyndicate.com.
Awesome. So yeah, it's probably good to speak to people as well, because there's different markets that are having different things happening at different times. What market do you mostly deal with, Kai, like area-wise?
Yeah, so like I said, we do a lot of virtual, which is everywhere. So mostly, we've probably done the most deals here in San Antonio, Texas. But we've done a lot in California. Since a lot of people are leaving California, we've done a lot in Florida. I'd say those are probably the big three. And then Georgia, right in Atlanta, we've done a handful too. But yeah, those seem to be the big ones. Typically what I look for in markets is just being, you know, again, there's a good volume of fix and flips. And I try to find, you know, lower competition. So that's the whole reason we decided to go virtual and go into other markets, is because there's a lot of other wholesalers here in San Antonio. So we try to, you know, focus on or go fishing where there's not so many other fishermen in the sea.
And what market are you most excited about at the moment, Kai?
Really, it's, you know, I'd say, you know, we looked up St. Louis. We started doing some marketing there. I actually just did a training for my mastermind. I have a mastermind where I teach people how to do this.
Missouri?
Yeah. And then, so basically I used ChatGPT. So I used AI and I gave it all the parameters. I do lots of AI to find what are the best markets to wholesale in. And St. Louis was one of the big ones that came back with. There's a couple other ones too. But it's pretty cool. Yeah, like I got to like factor why this is the best market and like compare that to San Antonio and tell me why it's better. But yeah, that was one of the ones that came back with.
So what were some of the reasons why ChatGPT was suggesting St. Louis?
Yeah, there's a lot of buyers, not as much competition. Those are the big things we're looking for. Properties are moving quickly. The average days on market are pretty fast there. The appreciation too. So a lot of buyers are buying for appreciation. So if you can find someone that's doing like a buyer that's not just doing fix and flips, they're doing buy and holds, like they're doing like traditional, they're putting long-term renters in there. They're usually willing to pay a bit more than a fix and flipper, because someone that's doing fix and flips, they're in and out. They need to be at that 70% there to make sure it just makes sense to them, so they have hard money loan costs and everything else. The long-term buyer is going to, they have that equity. They have, they're going to make money in the long term either way. So they're usually willing to pay a little bit more. So that was one of the reasons we did that. So we want a lot of buyers, low competition, and, you know, lots of properties.
Awesome, Kai. And what if somebody says, wow, that is just what I've been thinking about doing. How do I speak to Kai, and what's the next step?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So usually the best way to get a hold of me is anywhere on social media. Just type in my name. You should find me against KY. And then my last name, Logue, L-O-G-U-E. And then, yeah, either on social media, feel free to reach out, shoot me a message. And I'll always make sure to respond to everyone that reaches out. And or just go to our website, wholesalingsyndicate.com, where we get a bunch of free resources, free trainings. And you can, you know, all my contact info is on there as well.
Awesome. And follow Kai's podcast as well if you want to get to know Kai and also get some really good tips about what's happening in the wholesale real estate market. So thank you very much, Kai Logue, for coming on and sharing your knowledge.
Thanks for having me, Julian. This was great.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for listening and watching, everyone. I'm going to wrap things up.